matter how you feel about it. I know that I don't like the idea that I can't have ice cream three meals a day. That's just not smart, is it? It's truth. I may not like it, but it's truth, and therefore I have to do something about it. Well, the truth of the matter is, there are people today that say, I could never be a Christian because it offends me, because I don't like what it says about sex, one man and one woman together for life. I don't like what it says about that. I don't like what it says about money. I don't like what it says about my soul, about man's innate sinfulness. I don't like that. That offends me. Well, I wonder if we really need to understand that what we're saying is that the parts of the Bible you don't like, what does that have to do with the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? Does the fact that you believe that you are offended by the gospel change the fact that Jesus rose from the dead? Because that's the pivot point of Christianity. The pivot point of Christianity is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And, you know, Paul was probably more offended than anyone else by Christianity. You remember the story of Paul. He was called Saul before his name was changed into Paul. And he was so offended by Christians that he went around and killed them. He was so offended by Christians that he hunted them down, threw them in jail, made sure that they couldn't spread the gospel anymore. Until something happened to him. Something that happened to him on the road to Emmaus was on the road to Damascus, excuse me, was that he was confronted by the risen Christ. And when he was confronted by the risen Christ, when he believed in the resurrection, it changed everything that he ever thought was true and everything that how he felt about things. It made the difference in his life. And we're going to talk about that this morning. We're going to talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and how it makes all the difference in the world on our lives and how we live our lives. The Apostles' Creed says, the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated by the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. We've talked about God the Father, creator of heaven and earth. We've talked about Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. We talked about the fact that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. And now we get to the point where the third day he rose again. We move on to the rest of the story of his resurrection and all that follows that, and what that means in our lives. When Jesus died on the cross, that's where we left off last week, was Jesus had died on the cross, crucified, dead, and buried. We left Jesus in the tomb last week, but he doesn't stay there. You'll remember that they buried him in a hurry because the Sabbath day, Saturday, was on its way. It was the Passover Sabbath, and it was a special day of celebration unto the Lord. There was no work to be done, so they hurriedly put him in a grave. They put him in a borrowed tomb. They rolled the stone across it to keep people out, and the Romans posted a guard there so that nobody could steal the body and then claim that that he rose from the dead. They did everything they could to stymie any attempt of Jesus to rise from the dead. But then it tells us that the two women who had gone to the tomb to tend to the body encountered an angel. They got up on the third day, Sunday morning. They came to the tomb and they were going to anoint his body with spices and oils and perfumes and things like that so they could give him a proper burial. And when they got there, they were confronted by an angel. And the angel said this to them. The angel spoke to the women. Don't be afraid, he said. Now, I always love how that happens. That just kills me. I think that's God's humor poking through. What would you do if you looked up and all of a sudden there was a man in blazing white standing there who glowed in the daylight and just suddenly looked at you and said, now don't be afraid. Yeah, right, you don't be afraid. I'm going to be afraid if you don't mind very much. Don't be afraid, he said. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was lying, and now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you. The women hurried out. They went to the disciples. They told them what the angel had said. Peter and John didn't believe it. They ran out there. They went. They saw the empty tomb. And the Bible says they wondered what had happened. They wondered what had happened. Jesus appeared to the disciples in the upper room after that. And the Bible says that he appeared to more than 500 people after his death and proved himself to be resurrected. The resurrection is what makes all the difference in the world. We're going to talk about that resurrection this morning. We're going to talk about what it means in our lives. And I want to draw your attention to two points. We're going to keep it brief this morning, okay? But I want to draw your attention to two points that the resurrection means in our lives. And the first thing it means, the resurrection proves that Jesus is God. The resurrection proves that Jesus is God. Who is the giver and taker of life? Just God, isn't it? God is the only one that gives life. God is the only one that takes it away. It says it all through Scripture. It says, and Jesus proves that he is God because he has victory over death. He said it says, no one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to and also to take it up again, for this is what my Father has commanded. Jesus did not have his life taken from him. He laid it down of his own volition. They couldn't have done anything. If Jesus did not want to die, he couldn't have died. He was God come in the flesh. He said, no one takes my life from me. I give it up voluntarily. That means that he gave up his life for you and I. He voluntarily gave it up for us. It wasn't stolen from him. It wasn't taken from him. They didn't overwhelm him. They didn't take him by force. They took him because he gave himself over to it. But he says something even greater than that. He says, and I also have the authority, the power, the ability to take it up again. It's one thing to kind of be in control of your own fate. It's another thing to have that life taken from you and then by your own power, by your own ability, take up life again and just suddenly just decide, I'm not going to be dead anymore. And he's not. He made the decision to live again, and he lived again. He made the decision to inhabit his body again, and he inhabited his body again. He made the decision to become our Savior, our Lord, our Redeemer. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, 54 through 57, it says, then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, the Scriptures will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, unless Jesus returns, every one of us are going to die someday. Whenever I say that, I think, aren't you glad you came to church to hear that? But that's the truth. Every one of us are going to die someday, and we're going to go into the presence of God, and we're going to cease living in this body. But death does not have the final say over us. It says we have victory over sin and death through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin is the cause of death, for all have sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard. Everybody here is a sinner. There's two in a row that you're glad they came for church here today, right? I found out I'm going to die, and I found out I'm a rotten sinner anyway, so what am I coming here for? But the truth of the matter is that we are all going to die because of sin. Sin will have its way with us, but it does not have the final word. The Bible says that when Jesus Christ returns, he's going to come with a shout, and those that had died in Christ will be raised up from the grave. They will meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Death does not have the final say. Why? Because Jesus has victory over death, and he can give that power, that victory, to anyone he wants to, and he chooses to give it to his children. You and I are not going to stay dead. We're not going to stay broken. We're not going to stay in the grave. One day, we're going to be transformed, the Bible says, by our body. And it's going to make the difference between life and death for all of eternity. So number one, it proves that Jesus Christ is God because only God can defeat death. Only God can defeat death. Am I making sense this morning? You're awful quiet. I don't know if I'm making sense or you're just stunned. Only Jesus can defeat death, and that proves that he is God come in the flesh. That's number one. Number two, his resurrection gives us
hope for the future. The Bible says that because he is eternally living, that we will have eternal life also if we belong to him. There's a story about a guy named Christopher Hitchens. How many of you ever heard of Christopher Hitchens? He's an atheist, a virulent atheist. He wrote a book called How Religion Poisons Everything, and it was just across the board, just a scathing rebuke of Christianity, Islam, Judaism, all of that kind of stuff. And he was just an atheist to the core. And he was going around doing debates with Christians and debating them. And he struck up a friendship with a guy named Larry Taunton, who was a Christian, who debated him. One day they were riding down the road, and they were talking back and forth. And Christopher Hitchens began to quote this scripture. He said, Jesus told her, it's a story from the resurrection of Lazarus, where Lazarus died and Jesus went to mourn his death and to raise him from the dead. And his sister says, Jesus, if you'd have been here before, he wouldn't have died. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? Christopher Hitchens closed the Bible. He looked at the driver, and he said, Dost thou believe this, Tartan? And Tartan looked at Hitchens, and he said, You know I believe that. The question is, do you believe that? Do you believe that, Christopher? And after searching for a clever kind of reply, he was a brilliant man. Christopher Hitchens, I love reading his stuff. I don't agree with it, but I love reading his stuff. He's such a good writer. But he looked at him and he said these words, I'll admit that it is not without appeal to a dying man. I'll admit that it is not without appeal to a dying man. Even atheists want that hope of eternal life. They don't want to believe that it's all over, that it's done, that it's finished when your body stops living. It gives us hope of that eternal resurrection. It says in the Bible, or have you forgotten that when you were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, you joined him in his death. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ, listen to this part, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, so now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will be also raised to life as he is. We will also be raised to life as he is. Folks, Jesus' resurrection is so important because it gives you and I hope of a resurrected life. If Jesus can raise from the dead and live eternally, he offers us that same resurrection power, not of our own strength, because we don't have any strength in ourselves. We don't have that ability to take up our lives again. But Jesus says, you can have some of mine. You can have my power to raise from the dead. And you can take that as your hope. You can take that as a promise from me that if you belong to me, if I am your Savior, if I am your Lord, then you will live eternally also. That's our hope. Our living hope that death cannot hold us. Paul said in one of his writings, he said, I want you to not mourn as those with no hope. In other words, when someone dies, when someone passes away, we can mourn. There's that loss that is there for us, and we can mourn that loss. We can feel that sense of loss and death. But we don't mourn as people who have no hope. That hope that says one day the trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ shall be raised, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's our hope, folks. It says in 1 Corinthians, it says, Let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. We will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. Those who have died will be raised to live forever. Death is not the end for the follower of Jesus Christ. Death is not the end for those who put their trust in him. It is the beginning of eternal life for us. Why? Because he rose from the dead. No resurrection, no hope. No resurrection, no hope. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. That's the hope that we have this morning in Jesus Christ, is that He has risen so we will rise one day also. When you said goodbye to those loved ones at that final funeral service, you were not saying goodbye forever. You were saying that there is hope. You know, folks, I'm a hospital chaplain. I have the privilege of being in people's rooms when they're passing away. And I can tell you there's a difference with people that have hope. There's a difference in the room, a palpable difference with people who have that trust in Jesus Christ. They know that it's goodbye for a little while. They know that soon they're going to be in the presence of the Savior. They know that they serve a risen Savior. They know that there is a resurrection that is waiting for them. And it makes a difference. There's a palpable difference in that room when people have hope. Without hope, we've got nothing. But our hope is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If Jesus was not raised from the dead, we're all in trouble. We have no hope. So let's wrap this up this morning, shall we? Let's talk about, do you believe? Jesus finished his conversation with Mary and Martha, and he said, Martha, he said, whoever believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus has a disconcerting way of bringing things to a personal conclusion in his conversations with people. He never just kind of left it all alone. He looked them in the eye and he said things like, do you believe this? Do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Do you believe that? Do you believe, and I want to ask you that question this morning. Do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? It's more than just a doctrine of the church. It's more than just good theology. Now, good theology is good. I like good theology. I don't like bad theology, but I like good theology. And good theology says he's resurrected from the dead, but the why is what's important. It proves that he is God, and it gives us our hope for the future. So I want to ask you that question. Do you have the hope for the future? How do you view death this morning? Is it something to be avoided? It says it's an enemy. The Bible calls death our enemy, but it's a defeated enemy. It's already defeated. We have victory, it says, over death, hell, and the grave through Jesus Christ and through his resurrection. How do you view death this morning? It says in Romans 10, 8 and 10, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. This doctrine of the resurrection of Christ is a breaking point. It's an important part of our lives. It's an important part of who we are and what we are. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Do you believe this morning? Do you believe in a risen Savior? There's an old song. It's an old hymn that says, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, no matter what men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Is that true for you this morning? If it's not, it can be before you leave this place. You can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can know that he is risen. You can be part of the family of God this morning. It says that if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning that you've given us this promise. And God, I thank you, first of all, that we serve a risen Savior. A Savior that is alive, a Savior that is living right now, right here in this place, God. We're not singing memorial songs to a dead Savior who gave his life for us. We're singing living hymns of praise and songs of worship to a living God that is here with us, that dwells among us, that is here in our presence right now. We thank you for that, God. Lord, if there's anybody here who doesn't have that hope, I pray that you would give them that living hope. If that's you, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I'd just like to ask you that question. Do you have that hope this morning? If you don't have that hope and you'd like to have that hope, would you just slip your hand up and say, pray for me, Joe. I won't point you out or embarrass you in any way, but I want to know to pray for you.